In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello friends, and welcome back to another episode of Common Prayer. We are making our way through our final week of Advent, moving closer and closer to Christmas, and I hope that you are feeling prepared, feeling ready, maybe getting your last minute plans together. I know we finished our last minute grocery shopping for the week to get ready for our Christmas Eve meal and all that kind of stuff, and so it feels like plans are slowly but surely coming together, and as we've noted, that often means a little bit more chaos, a little bit more busy. And I'm glad that you would be joining us for these meditations as a space to just carve out a little bit in the midst of all this, to ensure that our hearts are kind of centered as we go into this season. One of the high points of the church calendar, obviously, to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the incarnation of Jesus coming. And that's worthy of our time, and that's worthy of us celebrating. So, as we get started today, let's go ahead and take a minute to just quiet ourselves together, bringing our hearts back to the presence of God in the here and now. So I invite you into just 1 minute of quiet, allowing your heart to slow down before God. Let's do that now. Our scripture reading for today is a little bit longer than normal, but it comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 56. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.' And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.' Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home." Yeah, this is certainly one of the more famous sections of scripture, particularly around Christmas time and the Christmas narrative. And it's really developed by these two kind of spontaneous bursts of praise and adoration. The first one is right at the beginning of this narrative, and as Mary enters Elizabeth's house, the baby inside Elizabeth leaps at the sound of Mary's voice. And, it's an interesting perspective because it's this little baby leaping inside the womb That is the recognition of Jesus' presence. This baby then that jumps spills over into Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, it says, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she bursts out in praise. And says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. And goes on and on in this kind of, again, just spontaneous act of worship. This is the kind of reaction that Jesus gets. This is the kind of reaction that Christmas, breaking into the slow waiting of Advent, gets. It's the spontaneous reality of hope in the midst of chaos. It's Elizabeth and her baby recognizing what is in fact happening, that they are caught up in a much larger story unfolding before them. Again, what we've been trying to do this whole month is situate ourselves in a similar posture to Israel, to the very similar posture that Mary and Elizabeth and all of God's people would have been feeling at this time, which was desperation, longing, waiting, anxiety, stress. And imagine then when this Messiah shows up and it breaks through. It's like light piercing that darkness. There is this spontaneous response of joy that just fills her body. And that reaction from Elizabeth is immediately then followed up by Mary's burst of praise, what we've come to call the Magnificat, which is based on the very first word of Mary's song. It's the Latin word that's used there. And Mary, she just explodes with this sort of prophetic praise of who Jesus is and what Jesus will do. And again, just situate yourself a little bit. At kind of a macro level, Mary is a part of this forgotten people, buried under the weight of the Roman Empire, have been given these promises, but yet is experiencing this silence, this lack of connection. And the Messiah then has the potential to overturn this, to reverse the very tides of their story. It's the signal that God's promises are coming to pass. But think even at the micro level. Imagine the struggle that Mary has faced for the months leading up to this moment we read about. Let's be honest, the story of how she gets pregnant is a bit fantastical, right? Like every time she goes in public, I can't imagine people are really believing her. I'm sure she's shamed and scorned, glared at, questioned, all of that. Her life had become, I imagine, extremely difficult since getting pregnant, as she faces all of these social pressures of a perceived failure. And so then when she encounters this burst of praise from Elizabeth that recognizes the Lord in her, Mary just explodes with what I would think is all this pent-up emotion and song and praise and adoration. It's, in many ways, it's this song that is sort of, it speaks of revolution. It's a song that brings good news to the lowly. It warns the rich and the proud that the world's about to get flipped upside down. It's a song that offers mercy to the downtrodden. Again, it is a prophetic burst of praise. This is Mary's Magnificat. And so what I thought we would do is in some ways allow the text to speak for itself today. The imagery is so rich, it's so full that rather than guiding through a particular prayer, I thought we would just read this text a couple times slowly and allow the Holy Spirit just to highlight a word, a phrase, an image that comes to mind. And so what I want you to do is again, just get comfortable where you're at, get in a posture of prayer. And I'm just going to read Mary's beautiful psalm, her beautiful burst of praise, just twice slowly. And each time I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to hone in on a particular word or a particular phrase. And when something comes to mind, just hold it and just think about it. And even ask the Spirit, why this particular image and this particular phrase? So before we do that, just take a few deep breaths. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide our reading of the text. And then as I read, just allow your mind and your heart to drift to a particular word or phrase. It says this: My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Just spend a moment sitting with whatever word, picture, or phrase that the Holy Spirit highlighted. Let me read this song again one more time. Allow the Holy Spirit to just again draw your mind and your heart towards a particular word, and then just return that in prayer to God. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Church, may you be filled with that kind of praise at the arrival of Jesus this week. May we allow that longing to be fulfilled in Jesus, and let it swell up in us as it did with Mary and just overflow. So let me close with our prayer for the week. It says, may we, like Mary, our exemplar, believe this day that there will be fulfillment of all that you have spoken, O Lord. And I say to you again, I am your servant. Let it be with me according to your word. Amen and amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.